This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson. A short-term bill to continue funding the federal government failed in the U.S. Senate yesterday, all but ensuring a government shutdown at midnight. Both Alaska senators voted for the stopgap spending bill to continue funding while Congress works on a longer-term bill. It got 55 votes, but it needed 60. President Donald Trump is threatening mass federal layoffs. And Senator Lisa Murkowski says by not passing a spending bill, Congress is giving Trump free rein.
When you're in a shutdown, you do not have equal branches of government. You just don't. The legislative branch is just kind of ceded this.
Senate Democrats are holding out to get Republicans to agree to continue health care subsidies for millions of Americans. Some of the subsidies are due to expire at the end of December, which will double or triple the monthly costs for millions of Americans who buy marketplace plans. Murkowski would also like to continue insurance subsidies that some 25,000 Alaskans depend on. But she says negotiations went nowhere last week, so yesterday she voted for the bill to keep the government operating. Murkowski warns that the partisan standoff could be a long one because each side believes voters will blame the other party.
No one has an incentive. If the Democrats feel that they've got the edge, where's their incentive for them to get out of it? If the Republicans feel like we're gaining with our base, what gives us any incentive to end it?
Key functions of government will continue through a shutdown, including mail service and Social Security payments. Some federal employees, like the military and law enforcement, are deemed essential and have to work without pay until Congress agrees on a spending bill. Hours before the shutdown was to begin, only some agencies had published their shutdown plans. The Alaska Climate Adaption Science Center, or CASC, is so far spared from closures coming to a third of these climate science centers across the country, as first reported by the Washington Post. Elsewhere in the U.S., some centers are expected to run out of money soon because the federal government has stalled funding and essential agreements with universities that the U.S. Geological Survey needs to manage the centers. But Alaska Center is safe for now. Kristen Tim is Alaska CASC's university co-director at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She says the center's funding through next summer has already been dispersed.
But of course, we're worried about how long our funding will continue to last.
The center's budget is roughly $2.2 million per year. And CASC signed an agreement with the University of Alaska in 2023 that maintains their partnership through July of 2028, which should ensure the center's existence until then. Tim says about 25 university employees receive a significant portion of their salary through the CASC. But she says that two grants are on hold. One would have funded communications interns. The other would have funded a study on how climate change could affect a caribou herd that's important to subsistence hunters. She says the center does projects that Alaskan communities and decision makers have asked for.
If we don't get funded, one of the major projects that would really affect Alaskans is the work around the glacier outburst flood and Suicide Basin.
The center funded the interactive website JunoFlood.com that helped inform Juneau's Mendenhall Valley residents about the threat to their homes. The center has also funded research around improving wildfire forecasts and how climate change is affecting salmon in the Yukon River Basin. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly is pushing for the return of a Fairbanks woman being held at an immigration detention center in the lower 48. KUAC's Patrick Gilchrist reports.
The Assembly adopted a resolution Thursday that petitions Alaska's congressional delegation to advocate for the release of 42-year-old Achery Buntow while her immigration status is worked out. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents detained Buntow, who's originally from Thailand, in early August. According to her family, the agents were driving unmarked vehicles and pulled over Buntow while she was on her way to get groceries. An online ICE database shows Buntow is in custody at the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, Washington. Assembly members Scott Crass and Kristen Kelly introduced the resolution Thursday. Crass says it's about promoting fairness and due process.
It's about ensuring that the law is enforced fairly, transparently, and humanely. It's about protecting local families and strengthening the trust in government, and ensuring the people of Fairbanks are treated with dignity.
Buntao's family says she moved to the United States more than 3 decades ago when she was 11 years old and has been living in Fairbanks for about 15 years. She has a husband, 6 children, and is the daughter of the owner of a local Thai restaurant. Buntao says the agents who detained her didn't identify themselves until she was handcuffed and inside their truck, according to reporting from the Fairbanks Daily Newsminer. The Newsminer also reported in August that Buntao began the process of applying for a green card earlier this year. Assemblymember Brett Rodermund expressed a concern Thursday that the resolution would set a precedent if similar cases arise in the Fairbanks area.
If more folks are detained like this, are we then going to have to entertain everybody that comes through our doors?
But Kelly, the resolution co-sponsor, said she hopes it does set a precedent. Kelly also says she thinks Buntao's detainment highlights how Fairbanks can home in on an issue affecting one of its community members.
What is different here is that we're a small enough town that we say, no, that's not fair, it's not just, it's cruel, it's mean, and we are not those people, and we want her back.
Buntao's detainment triggered a protest in Fairbanks a couple weeks after it happened, and support for her release reverberated Thursday prior to the assembly's vote, with 14 people providing public comment on the resolution, a dozen in favor and 2 against. Here's Fairbanks resident Molly Murphy.
Terrorizing our neighbors and their children is absolutely unacceptable. So vote yes for this resolution. If you choose not to pass this resolution, and this community will consider you complicit and complacent in the federal government's use of one of our own community members as a political pawn.
Fairbanks resident Miguel Ramirez was one of the public commenters opposed to the measure. He says he's the son of an immigrant who became a legal citizen.
He did what was legally obligated to him by the law of the United States. Again, this is the United States of America. We are a nation of laws.
The Assembly ultimately adopted the resolution Thursday in a 7-2 vote. Assemblymember Barbara Haney was among the yes votes, but she says there are still some things that bother her, quote, on both sides. She questioned why Buntao hasn't become a citizen despite living in the country for more than 30 years.
That part baffles me. But I also don't like how this went down either.
Rodermund and Assemblymember Tammy Wilson were the 2 no votes. Wilson also questioned why Buntao had yet to become a citizen and noted that she has a criminal history. Court records show Buntao pleaded guilty in 2015 to 2 felony charges related to falsely claiming U.S. citizenship on Alaska Permanent Fund dividend applications. Wilson also pointed to a few misdemeanor convictions on her record and said she thinks that history may affect her case. In Fairbanks, I'm Patrick Gilchrist.
This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Kwayana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Gnomchit coming up.